I am so excited to announce our new platform launch, the49ersrush.com. We've been active on Patreon for years, and we're still going to keep that community going, but the49ersrush.com has everything Patreon offers and a bunch more. You want to watch player breakdowns? Guess what? You click that. It's filtered based on players. You want to see Javon Hargrave, what he brings, some CMC tape broken down, IU, Jair Brown. We've got hundreds and hundreds of tapes on. Now, you want football 101. You want to learn scheme? Guess what? We've got every single offensive, defensive, special team snap. Head over to the49ersrush.com, sign up, join the community, and plus we got a 7-day free trial. So.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, faithful? Man, it is great to be with you guys. It's Thursday. This is what we're going to be doing on Thursdays. Me and Ant, the man from 49ers Cutback, hanging out. How we doing, my brother?
We're doing good. And the trades are flowing, which means it's got everyone on edge. And John Lynch has no new information. Just so anyone was wondering, Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch got nothing. We don't even know if there's anything going on. So we'll see what's up. But yeah, I'm excited about Thursdays. It's becoming one of my favorite days of the week, and it's because we get to talk, and I always enjoy talking with you, John.
It's funny. You were going through, you know, we get nothing. I was taken back to the original Willy Wonka, right? And he's just like, you get nothing. Good day, sir. Like, that's basically our front office to the fans, and two players wanted more money that deserve it and all that fun stuff. But that's okay. Hopefully. I mean, this is day 1,327 saying this. Maybe today is the day we get some positive news on something. Like, why can't something good happen? You know what I mean? Like, why not? Why not us, Ant? Why not us?
Yeah, that's what I'm asking. I love the Willy Wonka, by the way. I mean, I completely just heard it in my head, saw it, the whole thing. Yeah, you still fizzy lifting drinks, and this is what happens to you. Fantastic. Yeah, I hope we get good news. I mean, I keep getting optimistic that Jerry Rice gives me optimistic. That doesn't happen. The only thing I know is I don't think anyone knows. And so now it's just sit back, throw your hands up, enjoy the ride, and we'll see what happens when we get to the end.
Yeah, there we go. Lou, appreciate you. Love the AVI 262 Mr. Irrelevant jersey. He says, guys, is there a team drop date? Let's start with that one. So the cut down date is Tuesday upcoming, by, I think it's 4 Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific time. That's where you got to get down to 53. Is that correct, Ant?
Yeah.
I nailed it. I nailed it. So, you know, the NFL changes and tinkers with their roster rules every year. It used to be 3 cut downs, then 1 cut down, then 2, then now we're back to 1. So, yeah, you're going from 91 to 53. A lot of dreams going to be crushed. And so we're going to talk a lot about roster stuff today, IR return spots, you know, how many linemen we should keep, all this different stuff. So we're going to get into that. Now, the second part of Lou's question, can you explain why San Francisco refuses to tell BA and his agent to sign, or he'll play on the fifth-year option, start fines, all that stuff? They need to end this madness. Ant, what say you? Why not take the hardball approach with Brandon Ayuk?
Yeah, I think they have taken a little bit of a hard line when it came to financials about how much they're going to pay him, and that's part of the reason you got an Ayuk trade request and you got some of that stuff. I think when it comes to this decision for the 49ers, eventually this thing plays itself out. You run out of time because Brandon Ayuk eventually starts getting fined game checks, and that will really hurt his pocketbook. And I think that's when the hard line just creates itself. They don't have to set a hard line right now. And I think they're still optimistic. As much as there's no movement, there's optimism that we're going to get something done in the next week or so, and he'll be able to come out there and practice and get ready. But at some point, right, the rubber's going to meet the road anyways. They don't have to set that hard line. The hard line's going to present itself. Brandon Ayuk's not missing games because he does not want to miss game checks.
I like that. And shout out to my man, Coach Cruz, the legend. He says, what kind of stock do you put into DeSean Jackson talking to Trent Williams saying he's going to be back soon? What are your thoughts there?
I believe it. I mean, DeSean Jackson is trying to make a career and a move for himself in the media, and him and Trent Williams have a great relationship. So I kind of expected this to happen. I've not been surprised by the Trent Williams conversation and negotiations at all. I didn't think he wanted to come into training camp. So this doesn't make me worry about him at all. I think they're going to get something done. You know, the fact that Kyle Shanahan said now he's having conversations with Trent Williams, I think we're moving in the right direction, and eventually they'll agree to a contract, because I'm sure they had some sort of framework in place anyways. He's an all-pro. He's the best tackle in football. You pay those guys, and I think the 49ers are prepared to do so.
Yeah, I think people forget, you know, Trent Williams' career, it's long, but he had, what was it, three-year overlap with DeSean Jackson in Washington before we traded for him. So, you know, that's a relationship. And man, I do, one of my favorite things, the recent development of NFL talent going into media. Like, I love that. All the podcasts, all that stuff. You know, I'm not a big competition guy. I don't believe in that. I think there's plenty of room for everybody. And so, like, for the longest time, these players, after their careers were done, they got nothing. And so I love the, I'm not the biggest DeSean Jackson guy, but I know he's a Cal kid and all that kind of fun stuff. So love to see that. And I think that, you know, I love this comment from Kevin at BND Gaming Channel. Trent's just waiting for the preseason to be over. Trent doesn't like practice, guys. He doesn't practice every Wednesday the entire season. It's just he don't want to be out there. He's got the money. He could sit home. You can buy those sick days, whatever you've made the money that he's made. He's going to get paid. Hopefully it happens soon. But anyway, good stuff. Now let's jump into these questions. I'm going to ask Ant some stuff. He's going to ask me some stuff. One of the new IR rules, Ant, is that you can now predetermine two returners from IR before the 53-man cutdown. You never could do this before. You had to have each player make the 53-man roster and then put them on IR the corresponding day. And then you could do, and the 49ers were notorious for this. They'd stash somebody, then put them on IR and bring them back later. Now you could do it with two. The difference is you have to predetermine they're going to count against one of your eight IR return designations. So my question to you, Ant, who are your two IR to return spots for the 53-man is set?
Yeah, so there's three players right now that are destined for IR, and that is Ambry Thomas, Kalia Davis, and John Feliciano. That one came out this week, of course. And so I think the 49ers were waiting, and we kept waiting, and I know I was waiting. Why haven't they made a decision on Kalia Davis or made a decision on Ambry Thomas to put them on IR, to bring them back or waive or release or whatever they got to do? And I think this is the reason, because a third player got added to the mix. And now you have to make a decision. I think that this one's pretty clear. I would go with the two guys who were on the line, and I would go with Kalia Davis, and I would go with John Feliciano. Both of them, we've already heard Kyle Shanahan said they expect Kalia Davis to help this football team at some point, and we know how much they covet John Feliciano's ability. And just the way that they've dealt with injuries on the interior offensive line, they're probably going to need help anyways at some point. So I think it's those two guys, and I think with Ambry Thomas, it's going to be a question if they decide that they're going to try to carry him on the 53 and then put him on IR, or just cut bait. And this could be the end of Ambry Thomas. I thought the play in training camp was leading that direction, that this was the end of Ambry Thomas. And now it really might be the end when cut down day comes.
Yeah. See, I agree. And so does Lou. Yeah. You Kalia Davis, bring him back. John Feliciano, bring him back. Ambry, I would just put him on IR, season ending IR now. Because this is his contract year. If you put him on IR, his contract will toll, and now you've got another cost-effective cornerback next year. You got to remember, Charvarius Ward, expiring contract. Diamador Lenore expiring contract. Isaac Yiadom, I think he's got 2 years on his deal. Rakjesen expiring contract. Like, you're losing a lot of those corners. So for me, I'm just like, man, let's stash him on IR. We don't need him this year. Next year, we're going to be a little bit more corner influx. So I feel like that's best of both worlds. And shout out to my man, Alex. He says, Ambry is not good, John. You can't argue. I'm not arguing with you. I'm not that. Now, do I think Ambry Thomas is a depth cornerback NFL player? Yes, I do think he is. Is he a good fit for the 49ers? He is not. Is he a top four corner for me on the 49ers? He is not. But I do want to keep that rookie fourth-year option for next year because it doesn't cost against the salary cap. And he's got a lot of experience. So, like, I don't like Ambry Thomas. I don't think he's a great fit. However, keeping that cost-controlled salary cap measure for next year, just something nice to have in your pocket. Not that I think he'll start next year, but, man, if he was one of my top five corners, my fifth corner next year, I'm cool with that. I don't know what the – here, let me phrase it a different way. I don't know what you lose in putting him on season-ending IR versus cutting him. What do you gain by cutting Ambry Thomas? You actually have a salary cap hit that you already paid that you don't get back. And again, I'm not an Ambry guy, but I don't know. Does that make sense, Ant? Am I off on something? What am I missing?
I'm just guessing that at some point, Ambry Thomas would want to reach an injury settlement if you put him on IR. He would want to go play somewhere. And, you know, he's got a broken forearm, so he's realistically going to be back 3-4 weeks into the season. And I'm sure he wants to not lose an entire year where he can be out there improving that he can still play. I do think he eventually needs to go to a different situation. This one didn't work out. It's another third-round pick like Akilah Witherspoon that just didn't work out. He's just not physical enough. The same with Akilah Witherspoon. You like the length. You like the coverage ability coming out of college, but it didn't translate. And I think that's what the 49ers have found out. So that might be one of the reasons you move on, but I can't argue that, yeah, going to IR and then reaching an injury settlement could be the best way the 49ers handle their business. I know you'd like to have him next year, but that might be the way it goes because I think Ambry's going to want out.
Yeah, I think that works. And again, you know, whenever you do these injury settlements, you kind of meet in the middle to where the 49ers get a little cash back and Ambry forfeits a little bit of cash so that he has the opportunity to play for somebody else. So while he'd go on season-ending IR for us, which means he could never play for us again, if we do an injury settlement, he could go play for the Commanders or some other team or something along those lines. So, yeah, I do like that. That's a good player perspective there. I like that.
Yeah, let's talk about the interior offensive line. One thing that's interesting to me is we now are hearing Dominic Pooney might start at right guard. But left guard is an issue because you've got Aaron Banks dealing with a pinky injury and Kyle Shanahan kind of putting out there he should be ready. He should be ready for week one. And you've got Nick Sakel that's been filling in admirably at left guard right now during the preseason. No John Feliciano, no safety net. Do you feel comfortable if we get to Monday Night Football against the New York Jets and Nick Sakel is lined up at left guard as a starting left guard for the 49ers?
Prize Picks is America's number one daily fantasy sports app with over 5 million active members. All you do is pick more or less on 2-6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. Right now, Caleb Williams, all you have to do is pick over or under Caleb Williams one passing yard every week in Sam Tipper. That's it. Every single week. And so for right now, you could combine that again, 2 or 6 of these, you know, things that you pick more or less. Christian McCaffrey's at 88.5 rush yards week one. So you pair that with, you say he's going to rush for over that. You do more there. You do more on Caleb Williams one pass yard. Bet $20, you win $60 on that. It's so simple right now. So download the Prize Pick app today. Use code 49ERS, that's 49ers, and get $50 instantly when you play on $5. That's code 49ers on Prize Picks for $50 instantly when you play $5. Don't have to win. As soon as you play $5, you get $50 back. You don't even need to win. So it's guaranteed. Prize Picks, run your game.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
All right, 49ersRushRoadTrip.com is live. Tickets are available for all of our road trips this year. Just go to 49ersRushRoadTrip.com, click here for tickets. Brings you to our landing page here, and you can see all the events that we're doing. And so once you pick an event, you just click on 49ers Bucks, scroll down. You can see our pre-party. You can see our tailgate. You pick what you want to do there. And right now, the prices are as low as they're ever going to be. They only go up. So we got early bird pricing till we sell a certain number of tickets. You can check out there. You get a QR code ticketing site, which we built ourselves, which I'm so excited about. 49ersRushRoadTrip.com. Go party with the faithful. Let me say this, and I hate that I always do this. I'm such a jerk. I'm going to bracket this answer to protect myself in every way possible, right? That way, if you're a pro-Zakel or anti-Zakel, I'm going to check all the boxes here. I had written off for dead Nick Zakel, and I think a lot of us did. It was just so bad. I remember last year, I think we were next to each other this day. It was one of the first days of training camp. Nick Zakel's at center. He had like three bad snaps in a row, and they just told him to go away. Like, they just sent him away. He never took a center snap again that training camp. It was just like, we're done with that experiment. Struggle that guard, whatever else. This year, oh my gosh. Like, Zakel, he might be one of the best run-blocking linemen that we have. I mean, he's out there moving dudes. Like we run the zone concept and all that stuff, and we're, you know, lateral and all this. He is pushing defenders vertically with aggression and force, which is awesome. Like, the run blocking's great. The pass blocking, still struggling a little bit with the stunts and, you know, the blitzes and all that kind of stuff. But it's not bad. It's just, this last game he had 11.5 pass protection, which I don't know why it was that low. Probably shouldn't have been that low, but it was low. So I believe in the future of Nick Zakel, and I think that his ceiling is really, really good. Like, possibly could be a starter next year at guard. Like, end to end. Like, he could be the starting left guard and Dominique Pooney be the starting right guard for the future of the 49ers. Like, that is a small possibility. But if you're asking me week one, Ant, I do not want Zakel out there yet. I think he needs more fine-tuning. I think he needs more confidence. And I don't want him going against Quinnen Williams week one. Dominique Pooney, I'm cool with. That dude's proven he belongs. He's played against two different starting groups opposite of the 49ers. He's played against Hargrave, played against Malik Collins. He's answered all questions there. I don't want Zakel out there. In fact, I'd rather have Ben Bartsch. Obviously, everybody wants Aaron Banks back, but the pinky issue. I'm going to say not yet. I want to know your opinion on this because you're the O-line guru. How do you feel confident? Like, 1 to 10. If 10 being, oh, we got this. 1 being, good Lord. How confident do you feel in Zakel week one?
6, probably. I would say that's probably the most comfortable number I could come up with because I don't think guards is best position. I'm with Chris Foerster. I think center is his best position. The way that he handled it, the pass blocking in week one of the preseason was so much better than it was week two. And we've seen this before last season. Nick Zakel struggles at guard a little bit. So I think that he's very in tune with what he's supposed to do at center, and I think it looks good. And you talked about next year. That's where I think we could get an interesting look at potentially Dominique Pooney, Spencer Burford, and Nick Zakel as the starting interior battery for the 49ers next season. That could happen. And I think that's a good thing for the 49ers. It took him 2+ years to get ready to play, but I think he is ready. And I think right now, early on in the season, he's going to have to assume that John Feliciano role, and he's going to have to be the guy that can play the guard spots and the center role if something happens to Jake Brendel. But you're right. I don't want him playing week one against Quinnen Williams. That doesn't sound good to me. So hopefully Aaron Banks is going to be back because I don't know what the answer is. I'm not real confident in Ben Bartsch. He is better at left guard than Nick Zakel right now, but I just don't feel comfortable in him starting either. So hopefully Banks is back. That's one of the problems with the depth of the 49ers right now. Burford doesn't go back and forth between right and left guard. That makes it a little bit more of a concern because I would prefer Spencer Burford to the other two guys playing left guard.
Yeah, I don't think Burford's ever taken left guard snaps with the 49ers since he's showed up. He's just been right guard only. There's been some talk about moving him to right tackle, but if you go back, Burford played left tackle for UTSA his entire career. So he's played on the left side of the line. I don't know if we're going to get any of those updates. I don't think that they're going to move him. I think they want the Pooney Burford right side locked down. And I think, okay, so like here's what I think Shanahan and Forster could get a little tricky. You keep Sakel, you cut Barch. You put Barch on your practice squad, elevate him, and he could even get the call week one over Sakel just because of the experience, how much he's played left guard in the NFL. I mean, goodness, how many starts does Ben Barch have in this career? It's quite a few. He's been in the league for 3 years. This is his fourth year. Yeah, he's played 46 games. You know what I mean? So, like, he's got all the experience in the world, and it seems like, but he hasn't stayed healthy, and he hasn't got all those reps. So I think the 49ers are kind of scrambling right now, and I don't think they know the answer either. I think they're kind of sitting there just like, well, we'll see what happens. And so I don't know. I really hope Banks is back. It's a pinky. You can wrap it and play with the club. But if you play with the club on that old line, you lose that grip ability, which is so huge. Like, that's one of the things that Banks is good at, is getting his paws inside. So, yeah, we'll see there. Right here, Invader. According to Forster, Burford doesn't have the feet to play offensive tackle in the NFL. Yeah, he also said Jalen Moore doesn't have the feet to play tackle. He's been a tackle for 4 years now. Like, it's always fluid with what Forster says about the offensive line. I remember week one or two of Mike McGlinchey's era, that dude was playing guard. You remember that? Like, mm-hmm. When we had like three injuries at guard and we had to kick him inside. Like, sometimes you just gotta, you gotta do what you gotta do. And the 49ers scheme is one of the most diverse. Like, you can play multiple spots and kind of a lot of the power run game stuff. You can't do that. But for the 49ers, you can kind of plug and play and make things work with some duct tape fittings and all that stuff. Anyway, here we go. Let's go to, here's my next question. Let's stick with the week one. Jacob Cowing, probably one of the most flashy, fun players last week versus the Saints. Are you comfortable? One of my things is no rookie punt returners. I don't believe in that. Are you okay with Jacob Cowing returning punts week one?
If I see the same performance that I saw last week in this preseason matchup against the Raiders, absolutely. Because Jacob Cowing was doing it all right. Everything he did, he was centering up the football, making the catch. He's supposed to getting yardage after the catch. When it was time to fair catch, he did that. When he wanted or needed to let it go over his head and into the end zone, he did that. He just executed at a high level. And so I don't care if it's a rookie or not, as long as they execute. Now, it always makes people concerned because rookies make mistakes. But this is a guy who has gotten a lot of experience returning punts at Arizona, and he's just been doing a pretty good job. Now, he looked a lot better in this game than he looked at practice receiving punts when he was actually out there at training camp. I think Pearsall is actually the best at centering up footballs and making the secure catch. But I think Jacob Cowing, this is his job to lose now. He's just got to go out there and have a really good performance against the Raiders, and I think he'll be the week one punt returner because it makes it easier for your roster. Now you don't have to do anything with Trent Taylor. You can go ahead and release him, and you have a roster spot for somebody else.
It's so – what a difference a week makes. I remember just a couple days ago, some prominent beat writers that have been doing it longer than almost anybody – I was listening to a show. They're like, yeah, I don't see Jacob Cowing making this roster. He's going to be on IR for the year. And it's like, you now he's a lock. You know what I mean? And it's just like, it's interesting. People that can watch practice all the time and be around the 49ers for the past 20 plus years. And it's just like, really, one performance changed all that? Jacob Cowing's had good practices in training camp. And they kept him out of that first preseason game just because he was only back like a day or two with his hamstring. So I don't like it. My problem is I sure as hell don't want Ronnie Bell back there. And I know Ronnie Bell's no longer a rookie, but no, if it's Cowing or Bell, I'm going Cowing. If it's, they're not putting the other guys back there that I would be like, okay, maybe this will work. It's Ronnie Bell, Trent Taylor, Jacob Cowing, and Ricky Pearsall, but that dude's been MIA for almost 2 months. And definitely don't feel good with Pearsall being out there. So I don't know. You've got a question for me about Pearsall. I saw it in the notes and I got frustrated. Let's transition. Let's talk about the other rookie. I love Ricky Pearsall, by the way. I'm frustrated because I want to unwrap the Christmas present and it's not Christmas Eve yet. And I'm mad at my parents. So take it away.
Oh yeah. Ricky Pearsall, if he's cleared to go week one, is he going to be a part of the game plan or is he going to be inactive? Because I've been hearing some, like you said, prominent media members saying that he's going to be inactive, even if he's healthy week one. And I want to know what you think, game plan or inactive week one for Ricky Pearsall if he's healthy.
Okay, he's missing this entire week. They're delayed it a full week. So let's say he comes back. We play Friday, which is nice. So let's say he comes back Monday, right? You've got 2 weeks of practice. Man, 2 weeks of practice is enough to be active. He could have a small package. He could play one spot. So the question is, are you going to have all six wide receivers out there? Man. All right, so Ayuk, yeah. Obviously, Debo, yeah. That's assuming Ayuk signs. Jennings, yeah. Cowie, yeah. Conley, 100% yes because of special teams. Pearsall's making this roster. Gosh. I think I would make him a scratch and elevate a backup punt returner like Trent Taylor, like a Ronnie Bell, like a Tay Martin even, because all those guys will get all the special teams. I might activate Tay Martin, now that I think about it, over Trent Taylor, because Trent Taylor provides you nothing outside of punt return. Tay Martin is a beast special teamer that could play all the wide receiver spots. He's been with the team for a long time, but like he is a stud special teams play. So I think that's probably what I would do. And then have Chris Conley or Kyle Juszczyk be the backup punt returner if Jacob Cowing struggles. But we've seen Roddy Bell struggle. They put his number 10 right back out there again for all our PTSD concerns. So even if Jacob Cowing struggled, Shanahan's not the type of guy to pull like a young promising rookie. He'll let him out there. He'll let him struggle, which I kind of like. I don't know. What are you going to do here? Pearsall active? And if not, who would you put in that spot as a promotion from the practice squad?
Yeah, I think where it gets interesting is, like you brought up, Jacob Cowing was probably going to be the inactive player pre him potentially winning this punt return job. Now that if he wins this punt return job, then he's going to be active for every football game. So then it comes down to, like you said, is it Chris Conley or is it going to be a guy like Ricky Pearsall? I think it would be tough for the 49ers to leave Ricky Pearsall on the sidelines. Maybe they'll do it. I don't know, but to me, I think you've got the new weapon. I think Kyle Shanahan is going to want to get Ricky Pearsall involved in the offense. They want him to be a part of what they're trying to do, and they've talked about him being a big part of what they do. I don't know the answer for this. I really don't. I think that everything within me as a guy that loves offense wants to see Ricky Pearsall in the field, and I think there's some things that he can do, but I see the advantage of having a different wide receiver like Chris Conley potentially being active and helping you as a gunner. There are some of those things early on in the season, but at some point, it ain't going to be Conley, right? It's going to be Cowing. It's going to be Pearsall to go with those other guys. And likely, I don't know if they're going to have six active players. So to me, it's interesting. I would probably, this is, and it's not like 100% dead set, I would probably lean towards Pearsall for the mere fact I think he can still win and he can help you out. And I think he's actually wide receiver 4 for this football team. So that's where I would go, but I understand the other argument of using Conley because of the things that he can do as far as special teams, and so that makes sense to me too. So I think this one's going to come down to the wire, and I'm curious about what Kyle ends up deciding.
Yeah, and you know, I want to address this question too, Lou. He says, will they put Pearsall on PUP for 4 weeks? You cannot go on PUP and let PUP physically unable to perform unless you start training camp on PUP and are on it the entire time. So Pearsall would fall under the IR area, which would count as one of those returner spots, right? We kind of talked about that earlier where we both agreed Feliciano, Kalia Davis, those you're only allowed to have two guys on IR to return before the 53. Now maybe you put Pearsall as one of those and then Kalia Davis or Feliciano's not, but I disagree with that because it seems like Pearsall's close, and he's been super close. They're just trying to get him ready 100% for the long haul because they don't have to rely on him. And this is frustrating because we all want to see the rookie, and we want to see the excitement. We want to see the first-round pick. We haven't had a first-round pick in forever. We finally get one, and it just gets put on the shelf. It's nobody's fault but our own. And I think if this was the playoffs or something along those, I think Pearsall would play. But it's not. It's not. And the fact that you don't have to rely on this rookie for a long time, that is huge. Chris Conley has allowed them to just say, you know what, Pearsall, you just get right. Because Conley, the 49ers, look what he did in the Super Bowl. Look what he did against Green Bay in the divisional round. They trust this dude to do whatever the hell it takes. He took Debo snaps in the divisional round. He took Debo snaps in the Super Bowl. Like, he could do whatever it is you want him to do. And lately, all training camp, he's been playing the ex-Ayuk role. So, not too concerned. Not too concerned. Oh, shout out to my boy Roy. He says, headed to Vegas to see the final preseason game. Now, let me just say this. I have an out-of-town fantasy football obligation that was set before the 49ers set their damn preseason schedule. So I will be having a draft out of town during the game. So I'm not going to be live updating. I'll try to do a post show if I'm not drunk. We'll see what that is. But here's what everybody needs to do. Tomorrow, game day, last preseason game, you need to go check out 49ers Cutback, okay? Wherever it is, because Ant's going to do a preview show, which is always awesome, and a post show. So I'm taking a little bit of a hiatus. Community, I got to be with my boys. But Ant, 49ers Cutback, go check it out 100%. Just does great work. You guys know that. And that's why we're together every Thursday, man, which I'm excited about. All right, here's my next question for you, Ant. Is there a chance? This one's a little more holistic on the 49ers season. Is there a chance that the 49ers start passing way more than they ran? Not necessarily like over a 50-50 split, but that the passing increases over previous seasons. We've seen all the empty sets. We know Brock Purdy loves that stuff. What do you think? Do they hit the same numbers that they hit last year as far as pass attempts go, or we see an uptick?
I think it's probably going to stay pretty close. I mean, Kyle Shanahan, he loves passing, but he loves balance more. And I think keeping balance and keeping the ball, you know, on the ground, it controls the clock. It limits the amount of possessions that each team has. And I think that plays into Kyle Shanahan's thought process a lot of times, especially with this defense that is completely revamped. If this defense is back to what they were when they were really good over the last few years, you're going to want to limit the possessions because you're going to have some defensive stops that are going to give you opportunities. And you just want to limit the amount of time the other offense has the ball. So I think that they still want to run the ball. Could I see it going up a couple of percent in the passing area? I could, because Brock Purdy's really good and you've got a lot of really good weapons as far as throwing the football. Plus, you are probably going to see less carries from Christian McCaffrey this year, which means that's counting on Jordan Mason and Elijah Mitchell to get those extra carries. So I can see it go up a little bit. Maybe it's like, you know, 53 to 47 this year, something like that. But I don't think it's going to be very big. I think Kyle Shanahan still loves his balance. He still loves shortening games. And I think that's why he'll consistently stay with that method. It's worked. He ties everything together, play action pass, the run game with the outside zone. It just works. And I don't see him making any wholesale changes right now.
Yeah, I don't think, again, I don't think it's a change of philosophy. I don't think that it's a, you know, getting away from what he's done. But if you look back, they have thrown fewer pass attempts in four consecutive years. It has continued to go down all the way from 2020, when they had 570 pass attempts in 1 year in 2020, to last year, they had 491. I mean, that's 80 fewer passes over the course of the season, and it's ticked down four consecutive years. I think that this could kind of reset, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I think the passing, it depends on the quarterback. And everybody this offseason was like, we've got to draft more linemen to make Brock Purdy comfortable. And Brock Purdy has said, no, 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 I prefer empty sets. I prefer easy reads and knowing what the and picking my mismatch and throw that freaking out route against man coverage. That's his favorite thing to do. And what do? You go draft a first round pick at wide receiver, fourth round pick. You go get another wide receiver. Oh, you keep all the wide receivers you have so far. Ayuk should be staying. So I don't know. I think we've seen this descending pass attempts continue. I think we could kind of see a readjustment. You know, last year was the first time it was under 500 pass attempts. I could see that jump up, not significantly. We threw 491 pass attempts last year. Let's say that jumps up to 520. Okay. What's that? 29 more pass attempts over 17 weeks. You're talking just a couple pass plays a game, but I think if Brock Purdy has his say, I think more pass attempts. Now that doesn't mean we're changing the philosophy. A lot of them would be check downs and all that other stuff. But I don't know. I think it's something to keep an eye on. David says, you know, Gary Kubiak giving Kyle's first play calling gig at Houston. Nice to see Kyle giving his son a shot at play calling. That's pretty funny. But yeah, I like it. I like the change. I like spreading the wealth around, letting these younger guys get some play calling experience. I don't think Shanahan's going to evolve a lot, but I like to see the easing, the relaxing of the grip on the power constraints that are the 49ers. So I don't know. I want to see what everybody puts in the chat. More passes or fewer passes? Because I think it's going to go more. Maybe I'm wrong on this. So we got to check back at the end of the year, Ant.
Yeah, I think it comes down to how they're playing. Like, are they playing from ahead? If they're winning games by, you know, 10 to 14 points and they're front runners, they're going to run the football more. They're going to try to start using that clock. And we know that Brock Purdy talked about, you know, kind of going out there and taking games over and finishing people off early on. And so that's the thing. If you're playing from in front, you're going to run the ball more. If you're trying to stay with someone or catch up, you're going to throw the ball more. So I think that could play a small dynamic in this. But I don't think what you said is crazy. I wouldn't be surprised if they throw it a little bit more just because the mere fact that they've got more weapons and they've got a quarterback who's more and more comfortable within this offense. He recognizes, you know, what he's supposed to see and what defenses are doing. So, yeah, I think that's always a possibility. But there's always the case study, too, where they are winning every single game by 21 and blowing people out. And all of a sudden, you have a lot more runs than you have passes.
Yeah, I like it. And the game strip, that's always going to determine, too. The 49ers were up so much last year that they just kept – Brock Purdy's, like, watched, like, 5 fourth-quarter games just on the sidelines with that smirk, which is so evil. It's kind of like a Joker-esque. You know what I'm talking about? Like, do you see it? Just like he's got his hat on and he's just hands on his hips like Mitch Wisnowski and just like making that smirk. I love it. Now, we got some more questions from Ant, which I'm excited about. We're going to get some more questions to you guys. But before we do, man, if you're betting this is year six with the 49ers Rush podcast. We are back, baby. Year six with my bookie. I love these guys. There's being a fan and enjoying your team playing, but whenever you're invested in it and you've got money on the line, it's so much more enjoyable. The highs are higher. Yeah, sometimes the lows are lower, but it's totally worth it. Trust me. And once you start, it's kind of hard to stop, but just always manage your own bets. Make sure you don't go too far with anything and consider this entertainment. But we're going to guide your hand. We help you here at the 49ers Rush. We post all of our bets and what we do every single week with the Niners over on our Patreon and the 49ersrush.com. We got you. And my favorite thing about my bookie, there's several. Easy to get money in and out. Don't have to download an app. Whatever it is you want to bet, this player, that many carries, under carries, spread, parlays, all that stuff, it's easy. All you got to do is go to mybookie.ag, use promo code 49ERS, or just use this QR code next to me if you're watching. Use promo code 49ers, and guess what? You get a $1,000 bonus all the way up to that on your first deposit. It's incredible. All you got to do is use 49ERS. It helps the show, and trust me, you're going to have a good time. And with college football season, you can bet on that if you want to. Last year, they had some of the best odds for Michigan to win the national championship. 10 times return if you bet Michigan to win the national championship before the season started. They've got all that stuff set up there again for college football, NFL, you name it. Never miss out on the action again. Bet anything, anywhere, anytime, only with MyBookie. All right. Now, I'm excited about this one because anytime I'm with Ant, we talk O-line, I get so excited, or D-line, I get excited. So I'll turn it over to you, Ant. Let's talk roster construction numbers. Let's figure out some position groups.
Yeah, here's where it gets interesting. So the 49ers have had injuries at defensive line, and with that, it kind of muddied up who's going to make this football team. And I can kind of construct a team potentially of 8 defensive linemen that make it. We've always talked about the 49ers keeping 9, 10 defensive linemen. Could they, for roster reasons, on the initial 53-man roster, keep 8? Go ahead and sign some guys to the practice squad, elevate those guys, or even sign some guys on Wednesday, bring some guys back once they've made other roster decisions. I'm curious what you think. Could they go 8 just to kind of help your flexibility with the roster?
You know, it's been funny because they keep flip-flopping how many ends and tackles they have. It used to always be 5 defensive ends and 4 defensive tackles, or 6 and 5, right? And I mean, we've seen as many as 11, and then they flipped it and it was like, okay, we're keeping 6 defensive tackles, 5 defensive ends, and all that stuff. So you've been anywhere from 9, 10, 11. But the problem is we are very top heavy at both the defensive end and defensive tackle position. There's only 3 ends that I have any confidence level whatsoever in: Bosa, Floyd, Yetur Gross-Matos. After that, Robert Beals had as bad a preseason in camp as any player in a 49ers uniform. You know, you talk about Alex Barrett, who's just a beast every single time he plays, but dude's been on our practice squad for like 5 years. So, like, are you worried about him getting – he put out some really good tape, but are you worried about him getting claimed? Defensive tackle, similar. You got 4 defensive tackles that I think you like: Malik Collins, obviously Javon Hargraves. Then you've got Kevin Givens, who's been with us since 2019, and Jordan Elliott, who you paid. After that, come on, man. Like, so we talk about all these other position groups, and like, gosh, you're going to have to cut several linebackers. You're going to have to cut corners. You're going to have to cut safeties. You're going to have to cut guards. You're going to have to cut tight ends. Why not pull back on the defensive tackle and defensive ends? Keep the guys that you know are your foundational pieces, cast the rest out into the ocean, and whatever you get back, that's true love. I think that's how the saying goes. I think I nailed it. Hashtag poetry. But yeah, if those guys leave, like, I'm not concerned if we lose guys like Sam Ekwonu or even Evan Anderson, who I think that they like. He hasn't been very good. T.Y. McGill, no. Like, if those guys come back, great. Elevate them, whatever else. But if somebody else cuts, and this is the crazy thing, the 49ers are now in a position of need where they will have to siphon defensive line depth away from other teams. We haven't said that in a long time, man. We have been spoiled at this position, but we didn't even draft a defensive lineman this year. For the first time ever, we didn't even draft one. So I like it. I want to keep fewer there and keep more stud players later and then piece together that back end, maybe even make a trade. I mean, trades are happening today all over the place. And every time I'm just like, come on, Niners, you could do this too. You're allowed to, but nothing, just radio silence. So yeah, I like this idea. Keep some of those positions. Are there certain players that you have in mind as far as like, okay, let's do it this way. We talked about the 4 defensive tackles. If you had to keep a number 5 defensive tackle, not Collins, Elliott, Kevin Givens, or Hargrave, who's your 5th defensive tackle that you would keep right now if you had to decide?
Oh, boy. I haven't been a huge fan of any of them. No. I think the one I got the most excited about was Nick Williams in this last game. I thought he played pretty good, but you don't have to keep him. I mean, he was on the scrap heap anyways. You go ahead and he doesn't have to go through waivers. He's been a veteran for so long. You could get him to the practice squad, no problem. I think that it just comes down to Evan Anderson and Shaquille Brown. And I think it's so close that if you waived both of them and Evan Anderson got claimed, you're okay with Shaquille Brown being on your practice squad, or vice versa. If Shaquille Brown got claimed, you're okay with Evan Anderson. I think Evan Anderson's got more upside of the guys that we're talking about. He's the one that's potentially could develop. But right now it's complete projection. We've seen nothing as far as a guy that should be playing at the back end of an NFL roster right now. He needs to develop a lot more. And I've been kind of comparing him to Derrion Daniels since I first saw him in college. I think that's what he is. Derrion Daniels was a 2-year practice squad guy for the 49ers, and then it didn't really work out. I think Evan Anderson has a little bit more upside than that, but I just haven't seen it. So I don't have a guy. I wouldn't keep a fifth guy. It doesn't make sense. I think you can get somebody else on your practice squad and elevate him if you need him.
Yeah, hey, I'm with you. Now, okay, let's do defensive ends. I only have three. So your question was, do you keep eight? There's no way in hell you're keeping three defensive ends. So here we go. Two-part question. Who's your fourth? And then who's the fifth, right, that you're hoping gets back? You got to keep at least four defensive ends. So obviously Bosa, Floyd, Yetur Gross-Matos, their contracts guarantee that. Who's number four?
I'd probably do Robert Beal. I mean, he was a fifth-round pick last year. I don't think the play has been good enough, but I think they're still invested in him. He was injured for most of training camp last year. I think we've seen moments where the play's good. You see moments when the play's bad. He's very inconsistent. I don't love him starting, but I think roster-wise, as far as roster building and gymnastics, it makes the most sense because I think he has the best chance of getting claimed. Where those other guys, you know, you can put them on the practice squad and elevate them for week one if you need to, and you'll be okay. So for me, that makes the most sense. I was hoping he was going to take this position by, you know, just stranglehold and be good at defensive end four. We haven't seen that yet, but I think when you look at roster construction and still belief in a young player, I think it's going to be Robert Beal Jr.
Yeah. And I think he's kind of the Nick Sakell a year ago, right? Like, man, it ain't there. Like, it is bad play. You cannot rely on him to play at any point outside of just a rotation, one series tops. Like, he's just not a playmaker at all currently. Doesn't mean he doesn't have the tools to get there. It's just, man, terrible training camp. But remember, Robert Beal Jr. got no training camp last year. The day before the pads went on, he got injured and was out. That was it. But he did play in the Super Bowl. Didn't play well, but he was out there. So, yeah, I think that makes sense. And even though he makes the 53, next to zero chance he is going to be a guy getting snaps early. I think, again, one of those practice squad guys. So, again, back to you, Ant. Who's that number five guy that you would put on the practice squad to elevate and get some rotation reps week one? Like, is there somebody at that defensive end spot?
Oh, man. I think that the fact that they didn't move on from Sam Okwuonu means he's probably a guy that they like enough. I think they're going to have to make a decision about maybe bringing someone in. I think they watch to see who gets released, who gets waived, and maybe they bring someone else in. I do like Sam Okwuonu, but I think he could go to the practice squad and you could elevate him. I like Barrett as well. I do think he's done a good job, and he's been a perennial, you know, guy on the practice squad for them. So I could see them elevating him and him playing in week one against the Jets. That wouldn't surprise me at all. I think those two guys are probably the ones I go to the most, because I think those are the two guys that look the most comfortable in this 49ers defense. But other guys have played well, as you know, at the defensive end spot too. Nothing great, just guys who have played okay. And that's, I think, the problem is that's what you see a defensive tackle and defensive end is. Once you get past the three defensive ends and the four defensive tackles, everyone's kind of bunched up together and no one's really separated themselves and played so good that you're like, I have to keep this. Curtis Robinson at linebacker is the one that's been like, we have to keep this guy because he's played so good. And I just haven't seen from the other guys, at least consistently.
I am so excited to announce our new platform launch, the49ersrush.com. We've been active on Patreon for years, and we're still going to keep that community going. But the49ersrush.com has everything Patreon offers and a bunch more. You want to watch player breakdowns? Guess what? You click that. It's filtered based on players. You want to see Javon Hargrave, what he brings, some CMC tape broken down, Ayuk, Jair Brown. We've got hundreds and hundreds of tapes on. Now, you want football 101. You want to learn scheme? Guess what? We've got every single offensive, defensive, special team snap. Head over to the49ersrush.com, sign up, join the community, and plus we got a 7-day free trial. So. Yeah, Curtis Robinson, that dude just deserves it. Remember, he passed on the Titans active 53 last year to stay with the Niners. He's answered every call. Like, at least just put him on special teams. He's as good. I prefer him on special teams than DFF, personally. I know I'm probably in a minority there, but he could actually play the linebacker position the way it's supposed to be played. Rick says, you know, all they see is keeping five wide receivers, so we keep 9 O-line. Not sure about six linebackers. You can see five linebackers, five corners. And this is the thing. It's these cross positional discussions. It's easy to sit here and say, okay, here's our 1 through 5 defensive tackles, defensive ends. But is the 5th defensive end better than the 6th linebacker? The question is, hell no. I don't care who your 6th linebacker is. I'm taking our 7th linebacker over our 5th defensive end. You know what I mean? So it's going to take some adjustment. It's going to be weird. This might be, I think, probably say this every year, this one might be the hardest to predict as far as just, you know, when we're looking at these 53-man rosters. Now, I do have to put this out there. We're having a Zoom hangout Sunday, 5:30 p.m., for all our 49ers Rush, the 49ers Rush members of Patreon, where we go through and make our own roster. So that's this Sunday, 5:30, one of my favorite get-togethers every week. So if you want to come join that, I'm going to listen to you guys because I don't know what the hell is going on. Hopefully you guys do as well. But yeah, you know, talking to those linebackers, it seems like, you know, D Winters got injured, but it didn't seem significant. Do you consider D Winters one of the locks? Because I do.
Yeah, he's 100% a lock. I thought coming into the year he was a lock. I do a show every year where I talk about guys who are locks coming into training camp, and he was one of those guys, and I still think he is. I think they've got, you know, the three guys that potentially are going to start. I think D. Winter still is probably going to start as Sam linebacker, and so I think you got him, Fred Warner, and Devondre Campbell, they're locks. Of course, Dre Greenlaw's on PUP, and then after that, it's a little bit more muddied up, but yeah, D. Winter is an absolute beast, and he's going to have to get more consistent. But he's going to play 20 to 25 snaps. And if, you know, half of those snaps, he's got plays that he's making, I'm okay with that.
I like it too. Lou says, you know, I want to transition this question. He says, will Luter get the Cameron Law 2 IR treatment? I want to open this. I'm not sure if Luter will. Somebody's going to get that mysterious injury that gets stashed for the year. And Shanahan just says, you're out here. Do you know of anybody off the top of your head where it's just like, man, they're a season away. They haven't shown it. I don't think we're going to rely on this player this year. They're going to get stashed on IR. Do you think there's anybody that comes to mind when you're like, I could see this take place?
Oh, you know what? I haven't really come up with that player. I have been trying to figure out how they get Jarrett Kingston through waivers or on this roster or something to not lose him. Because I think he's done good enough when it comes to pass blocking that you don't want to lose him, because I think he could develop as a run blocker and be somebody you could count on. Next year, he could be interior offensive line depth behind Burford and Pooney. So to me, I'm trying to figure out what they do with Kingston and how they get him on this roster, but I don't know if you want to IR him and or if you want to try to get him to your practice squad. I think that's probably the guy I see. I don't think Luter Jr. is going to be that guy after everything that happened last year. Yeah, I mean, I think Kingston's the only one that stands out, but I don't know how they get this thing done, and I don't know if they want him done for the whole year.
Yeah, Freddie Mac says, do it to Latu again. that's terrible, but awesome at the same time. All right, this is going to be our last question for today's show, and I just want to kind of clarify a couple things. B. Lauren, appreciate the question. Could the Commanders be back in play for IU? They just traded got a third round pick for a player they were going to probably cut. And Johan Dotson, I know he's a former first rounder. They love him. He's got no reps with the starters in like the past month. They were completely sour on him. They trade him to Philly for a third round comp pick, basically, and get a 5th pick in return plus 2 7ths. So interesting trade. I don't think there's any chance that the Commanders are in the trade market, because I don't think the 49ers will trade Ayuk to an NFC team, let alone Adam Peters.
Yeah, I mean, I think they would have to give a lot. I think it would take a lot to make the 49ers be willing to make that trade. It would have to be that's, you know, a second round pick at least, Scary Terry and more. I don't think they're going to do it. I don't think Washington's really in on this. I don't think Adam Peters has been in on this for a while now. So I know this trade gets the ball rolling and making everyone think now they have the necessary compensation to make the deal. But I think this was just a deal that Adam Peters saw for the future of his football team. Get some more draft picks, improve a couple draft areas, and then be able to move on from Dotson. I don't think this has Brandon Ayuk implications at all.
I don't think so either. They're happy with, you know, Terry McLaurin's going to be their one. Dyami Brown, the vertical threat, which fits with Jaden Daniels. And then Luke McCaffrey. I think he's going to be their number three. So for you fantasy nuts out there, do with that what you will. But they moved on from Johan long ago. Like, this isn't a new development. There were rumors he was going to get cut. And, you know, you pay the interdivision trade. Are you kidding me? I don't know. Yeah, speaking of trades, Invader, I see a defensive end Foskey for the Saints. I'd love him. Yeah, I'm cool with that. I remember him, Notre Dame, I think. I remember breaking down his tape. He was fun. I didn't like him near as much as everybody else did. More of a workout warrior than a football player, I thought. But, yeah, I'll take it. I'll take it. The Saints usually have a great D-line, and they don't usually get guys that are just one-way players. They're all solid run defenders on that defensive line. It's kind of what they do. So that's going to do it for us here. And any closing remarks before we jump out of here, my friend?
Oh, no. Great episode. I enjoy going through this. I think the roster decisions are going to be epic. When we get out after Friday, we'll probably get a little bit more clarity on a couple of positions. But for the most part, Tuesday is going to be insane. I feel bad for everyone that's going to get waived or released, and I hope they land somewhere and their dream continues, whether that's on another team or a practice squad. I just hope that everyone's dream continues. But this is one of those moments where we get to find out who that those 53 guys are and what this team is going to look like. It's exciting and yet hurtful at the same time, and I'm looking forward to it because I want to get into football, and I know this is a necessary evil. But, yeah, it's going to be fun, and I have no idea how they're going to do this. I think they're going to try to skim in certain positions and keep guys. And I'm curious who they keep because we have a lot of differing opinions amongst media members around 49ers on who's going to be here and who's played well. And we're going to get all the answers next Tuesday.
Yeah, it's coming. It's coming quick, man. And a lot of people's NFL dreams are done. Like it's over, which is the sad reality. This is how dreams die. It's not, you know, Rod Tidwell, Jerry Maguire scoring a touchdown and walking out. Like, that's not how it is. It's you're cut and you get a garbage bag to collect your belongings and you don't ever go back to an NFL team. So just keep in mind the humanity that's involved here. Doesn't mean we're not going to do our job and cover it, but like, these are humans. These are families. These are futures. These are dreams. And how would you feel if everybody did a show talking about you losing your job and your career? You know what I mean? Mine would be full of jokes. Well-deserved, but that's okay. We'll do with that. Tomorrow, 49ers game, last one of the preseason. Make sure you tune in to 49ers Cutback. Wherever you watch, listen, download, don't care, Ant is there. He will take care of you. He will not steer you wrong. That's going to do it for us today. Until next time, as always, stay strong, faithful.
Fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app. Get packs of juicy red, green, black, or tri-color variety seedless grapes for $3.99 each. Then get tender boneless chuck roast or steaks for $4.99 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.